The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I don't know who that is, but they have potential.
Some young band.
Because of a great level of diplomacy, decency and humility on the part of Tom Dunn, we are now 2-1, Hot House Flowers, Something Happens. We had wanted to go Something Happens, but Tom went, no. Yeah. Allow the lads to have their moment of glory. I'm joined by Fiacna O'Brien and Tom Dunn and their guitar.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
How amazing.
One of them being a dobro. I have never been in the presence of a dobro before.
Yeah, this is a sort of a, you know, well, it's, you know, a 300 buck Japanese dobro copy bought in Annapolis, Maryland while on tour with Hot House Flowers about 20 years ago. I mean, I picked
so
it up
much
shop.
In that sentence. Isn't there?
The sound of it. It's just so evocative.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful.
It's nice.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
You were saying during the break that Hot House Flowers have a load of these kind of when on tour in Maryland stories.
All their stories are America and on the road, or there was this time in Compass Point, you know. We were hanging out with Richard Branson at the time, recording a few tracks.
That was our drummer, Dave. Right. Dave was the only one who went to Compass Point.
And all the Something Happened stories are all, we were in the Temple Bar one night.
In the Norseman.
And there was this night in the Temple Bar, and this man came in.
is the Richard Branson hanging out figurative or true? Did you hang out with Richard Branson?
I didn't, no, but I think Dave Clark, who is the Hot House Flowers drummer, he's the new guy. He's only been in the Hot House Flowers for the past 22 years.
How's he fitting in?
And he's fitting in well. Good. Very well indeed.
He needs to watch his P's and Q's.
But he made an album with his other band, with his previous band, Blue in Heaven, in Compass Point, where I think they were hanging, I don't know if they were hanging out with Richard Branson, but certainly with Robert Palmer.
If
Dave was here, I'm sure he could throw a few more names in.
Man alive.
So in your absence, I was comparing it to Run DMC and Aerosmith. I was comparing it to Anthrax and Public Enemy. All of the greats combining and overlapping. How did it happen for the two of you?
Initially, I was kind of had an idea to do a kind of a solo show thing. COVID, all of when you thought you'd never see your bandmates again, and I was working on that. I kept meeting Deirdre O'Kane and I was going for walks with the dogs. She was saying you should do a song and a few stories. It'd be brilliant. And then this radio show invited the two of us in because neither of our bands were available.
Nope.
So we were the only two. Yeah. And we did two songs together and we got on quite well. And the idea that we could broaden it.
No, hang on. Somebody goes, okay, I'd like to have Something Happens. Okay, we only have Tom. Yeah. Right. Get Fiacna.
We'd like to have the Hot House Flowers. We only have Fiacna.
Get Tom.
And then it's good. The two of you do a song together.
I think it was the latter. I think I got a call going, can you come in? We were doing this big gig in the Three Arena. Something Happens. Hot House Flowers. The Frank and Walters. Jerry Fish. Everybody.
Yeah.
We're doing the first big gig in the Three Arena since the pandemic. So things were opening up again. We were on the road again. And that was the song that Tom suggested we play.
But for us to do a song together was a keys in the bowl moment. Right? I want to be very clear about that. Okay, there was somebody saying, you want me, a married man, married to Something Happens, to go into a studio and have the crack with this lad from a different band.
But there's only two sets of keys in the bowl.
They were keys to bicycle locks as well. Yeah.
They were.
I was going to continue the analogy, but I won't.
No, it's better if you cut that story off as quick as you can.
So at what point did you begin to realise you were hitting it off?
Well, the session was great fun. And then I think somebody heard it and invited us to a gig. It was the Whale, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we...
And this is like, you know, it's one thing to meet up for an afternoon, but, you know, for a much longer period of time, that's... I'm not sure about this. So we just kind of said, well, do some of your songs, Fiacna. Mm-hmm. And then we're thinking also the stories are a big thing because, you know, apart from the Compass Point stories, we have stories. We had Tommy Ramone coming into Dublin to record our first album. There's loads of stories. Yeah. So the idea of a show came about. This is the On the Road show. And in it, Fiacna is telling stories and playing songs from your youth.
Yes.
Really,
yeah, 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 yeah.
And so
my lifetime.
And we did it in the Whale, and it was brilliant. Yeah. It really was. It was just great.
I should make sure that we get the plug bit, because you are going to be in the Pavilion Theatre on November 23rd and 30th.
Correct.
The album is going to be on digital release from November 22nd. It is live at the Pavilion. Are you planning to tour beyond that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. This has gone great. And the album is kind of a recording of where it stands at the moment. So I think it's brilliant. We recorded it last year in the Pavilion. My first album in 28 years. There is a thought for you now. Yeah.
That's wild.
Isn't it?
That is really wild. Yeah.
So that's for me to go on stage and say, this is our new single.
Just play the hit.
All from Keys in a Bowl. Yeah.
No, we're definitely planning on touring into next year. There's a few shows in the diary already. Yeah. I haven't got the diary in front of me, of course. But there's
loads of places to go. I mean, we've told some of the stories, but there's loads of other stories. We toured at Warren Zevon for three months, and those stories are off the clock. Yeah. Warren Zevon was this American songwriting legend.
I'm one of the rare Irish big Warren Zevon fans. I saw Zevon in his last performance in the Olympia, and I remember he got up on stage. And do you remember him with the coughing, saying he thought he caught something swimming down at the 40 foot? And then you realised, no, you hadn't caught something. It was significantly worse than that. But he was an absolute genius.
Total. And we were in a bus with him for 3 months touring America. We were his opening band and we were his band.
That has to be interesting, because he was fueled largely by narcotics for a good 25 years.
Yeah, he wasn't fueled by narcotics. He was fueled by the gym when we met him. He was just crazy. There was another side, which I won't go into because it's very early in the morning. But there was another darker side, which we found out about later on, which wasn't very savoury. But just one moment, the bus went on fire. The tour bus went on fire. And we're standing on the side of the road in Minnesota. And the bus is just burning like a candle. And his bag of T-shirts are on the bus. And he says to Ray Harmon, our guitar player, "Ray, would you go on the bus and get my T-shirts for me?" Ray's about to get on the bus. Ray Harmon is about to step on the burning bus. Warren Zevon's bag of grey T-shirts.
I knew you had an American touring story in you.
You've no idea.
Well, this relates to a thing that I only discovered that I wanted your view on. Warren Zevon was produced by Jackson Browne for some time.
Yeah.
Jackson Browne wrote the first hit for the Eagles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By coincidence, I happened to be in Windsor, Arizona recently.
Yeah.
Did you know that they have a corner?
No way.
There is a corner that has Glenn Frey in a statue and Jackson Browne in a statue, and there's a flatbed Ford, and that they have made it.
No way. Amazing.
Great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So back in the day, was there a lot of hatred and resentment between you? Was there internecine competition?
It was ugly. It was very ugly. Yeah.
It was Tobins of Duke Street versus the Norsemen of Temple Bar.
Yeah. They're swanning around the place, the best unsigned band in the world.
Yes.
Eurovision.
Getting into the Pink Elephant when others weren't.
They were able to get into the Pink Elephant.
Yeah.
And we'd often go and try and get in and be turned away. And you could hear their laughter echoing in the streets as we walked
away.
I didn't
think the Pink Elephant had windows. How did they not have them? Did word just travel?
I could make out that distinctive laugh. There's a brain on laughing at us again. As we were waiting for the 78 home.
So when you then took the keys from the bowl, began to perform, what was it like performing with each other? Because I one of the things I'm incapable of doing is singing. But I imagine that when you do it with somebody who does it well, it is a great pleasure.
Oh, sensational. The radio session was my first experience of that. Because nobody else, when something happens, sings. So when we were doing a Christy Moore song, John of Dreams, and Fiacna started singing a backing vocal on it. And I'm looking around the studio to see where the other voice is coming from. I'm thinking, what is this magic? So I was blown away by that. And we've kind of explored that a lot since, haven't we?
Just the thing, the two-part harmony thing is a beautiful thing, you know? You think of the Everly Brothers, or you think of the Leuven Brothers, or you think of all these great, great songs that are transmitted with two-part harmony. There's something about that, you know? And it's something that we came out of that radio session when we played John of Dreams, great Christy Moore song. And I was getting text messages from actual singers, because I don't consider myself an actual singer.
I find this amazing.
I was getting texts from actual singers saying those harmonies together are incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So that is a brilliant thing. I mean, we're doing the gigs. There's moments where you just live for the two voices go together. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Why does he not consider himself a real singer?
Oh, well, I do know. I do know.
Because he was in a band with Liam, who's an amazing singer.
Yeah.
And they crushed his confidence. It took you to bring him back out of himself.
It did. To push yourself forward. Tom has saved me.
It's hard when you've a vocalist like that. It's hard for you to sing. It's, you hang back a bit. So I've been pushing him forward. And all the people coming are saying, he's an amazing voice. Speaker's got an amazing voice.
What's interesting is that I've ended up singing, because we've chosen some of the Hottest Flowers songs as part of our show that we do. You know, we do Don't Go and we do Hallelujah Jordan, which Tom insisted that I sing.
Great song.
And I would never have dreamt of singing that song until recently. Now I really enjoy it, you know.
That's great. I get to just play a bit of guitar for a while, have a break. Maybe have a bit of a drink or something on stage.
How good is he as a guitarist? Should I ask the same question?
You know what? He's brilliant as a guitarist. Yeah. No, he's a great rhythm guitar player. If you listen to The Choking Kind, which is our current single, it's, you know, that rhythm guitar on there is beautiful, you know.
I've mastered very basic guitar. He's sitting where you are, I've seen people coming into this studio and think, they're not brilliant on the guitar. They're just able to hold it together. And I thought, if I can reach that standard, I'll be delighted.
Now, hang on a minute. My understanding from your background was that your main influence was punk back in the day.
Yeah, totally.
And if there is one lesson to learn from punk, it is that you don't need any capacity to play any instrument at all.
And what's the same message we get from trad?
Much the same thing.
Much the same thing.
Both genres are...
Can't play anything? Don't worry. Get on the bus.
It's the relentless pursuit of freedom and anarchy.
An instrument will be provided. Don't worry about it. That's why I can't get over it.
Well, you've been playing to tunes now. Traditional tunes during our show. I played the whistle at one point during the show. And
how many instruments do you play? I bet you play a filthy amount of instruments.
I play guitar, whistle, mostly guitar and whistle, but anything with strings on it, I'll give it a go. I'm a very, very rudimentary piano player. Can't play the piano, really.
Have you ever toyed with the ukulele?
I have toyed with it. But
banjo?
Banjo, again, toyed with it. I could kind of get a tune out of it. Mostly the six-string, the guitar. Bouzouki as well, I played.
You have not?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I bet the bouzouki all argument stops.
And you know, neither of us are the real musician. That's Alan Connor.
That's absolutely true.
I forgot to mention that Alan is involved. This is Alan off the late late.
Alan's sensational.
What is Alan playing?
A piano player. Piano mainly, but guitar. It's guitar player.
He's a great singer as
well.
And he sings.
He's...
If you want to see the lads... By the way, have you a website? Where do people get tickets?
So you can find us on... at Fiacna Tom Allen on Instagram. I think it's the same thing on Twitter. We don't have an actual website yet.
At Fiacna Tom Allen.
But go to the Pavilion website.
Yes.
The launch of the album is the 23rd. So that's the album that we recorded in the Pavilion.
Yeah.
First album in 28 years. And
so we're playing on the 23rd. The album
is going to be a celebration.
We'll have a CD, an actual physical copies of the album at the Pavilion shows.
Will you have great t-shirts like Warren Zevon?
That's a good question. We need to get our act together on that one.
Yeah. November 23rd. I want to call this Trad Wife. He won't hear. I think New Trad Wife is a brilliant name for a trad.
November 23rd and 30th in the Pavilion. And by the way, some of the tunes are doing. Parachute is in there. Don't Go is in there. John of Dreams that they were talking about earlier on. I see as well that there is, where is it? I see some Beach Boys in here.
Brian Wilson five times. That's one of the stories in the show. Because he went from, I'm not saying he's not my hero, he still is, but he's a very difficult interviewee. And I've spent long periods with him and it hasn't been easy.
No, I would imagine.
At all. But rewarding.
Interesting, but challenging.
Yeah, rewarding.
Now, I can't have you here with the guitars and not get you to use them. So let me say a big thank you to Fiacna O'Brien, big thank you to Tom Dunn. Likewise, thank you to Aoife Breen and Simon Keane, who is on research, and Peter Malloy, who is on sound, just in case I don't get to do it after the gents or while the gents are playing. Over to you.
Right, thank you, Anton.
We're never good at starting this, are we? No, we
go.
Just get going.
Just go.
You.
Go.
Can't wait to be on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. Oh, I can't wait to be on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I might never see again. Oh, I can't wait to be on the road again. On the road again. Like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway with the best of friends, insisting that the world keeps turning our way. And our way is on the road again. Just can't wait to be on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to be on the road again. Yeah.
the gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends, the system that the world keeps turning our way. And our way is on the road again.
Tom, don't fade no brain on. That is it for us. Thank you so much, gents. Bye-bye.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.